Hare Krishna. Thank you so very, very much. Not just to our very, very talented and devotional kirtan leaders, but for all of you. Please remember that we wish to enter this secret of the holy name together. And this is not done by understanding with our head or our mind alone. It the secrets in spiritual life are revealed from Krishna's side to all of us when Krishna sees our effort. I always say, imagine your existence to be like the temple in Sri Rangam. There are gopurams, different gates which you need to cross before you come to the altar. First you go through one gate, there may be an elephant on that gate who blesses you, and you continue further, and you go further through another gate, and then you start to hear already the beautiful Veena music which allures you to move further until you finally stand before the altar. Now all these gates, all these gopurams are open, but very often the last, the altar is closed, because that door to the altar can be only opened from inside. Krishna can only open it, not us. So when we chant the holy name, yes, we can align our body, which we will learn to do. We can align our mind, and in this way cross through the open gates of body and mind. But ultimately, when we come to the heart, the Lord who sits inside needs to open that door from inside. We can't do this from outside. So sitting together as we did, and as we will do many times, and singing together, praying together, feeling perhaps the stirring of the soul, the stirring of an inner voice, is very, very essential. It's I would like to repeat the word from this morning lectures. It's a transrational process. Human reason fails to understand how this works, but anyone in bhakti who does this can experience it. Good, I see Ananta Gauranga with a garland, but I have already one. I thank you very much. Thank you, Hare Krishna, thank you. I need to say why I'm floating above all of you. The reason is that we have cameras and I was told that some of you can't see me, and because my language is not so clear, you want to see how I move the lips to understand. So it's not arrogance which has placed me here, but practicality. Good. In the first verse which you were singing, the potency of the holy name was expressed by bringing out the seven effects that chanting brings. And the main point was Shraddha or faith. Without Shraddha or faith, we just cannot progress. And this is true to for every level. It is said, once success related to a mantra, once success related to a holy place, one's success related to a brahmana, a deity, an astrologer, a doctor, and a guru is in accordance with one's faith in them. A little while ago, I asked an astrologer whom I considered to be very insightful for an advice on the times and the qualities of the times. And the astrologer gave a very, very wonderful answer to me. And I saw, because I had faith in this particular astrologer, I could really do a lot with his answer. I could counsel devotees because I have faith. Or if I have a doctor, when I have no faith in him, his medicine will just not work. Or a guru, if I lose my faith in my guru, then he won't be able to help me. And the same is true for a deity, a brahmana, a holy place, but also a mantra. If I have faith in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the mantra can bring me face to face with Krishna. If I don't have this faith, I will not be able to progress from where I am. The second verse expresses a regret. Yes, the holy name is glorious, but I'm unglorious. I have no taste for chanting because there are different things in me. I have not a clear understanding about where I am and where I could go and how I should move. This is called Tattva Brahma in the Bhajan Rahasya. I may not have taste because I have thirst for temporary things like fame. We dealt with a few, wealth and so on. My taste is for material things and not for spiritual things. A third reason for having no taste for chanting could be offenses, and a fourth is a weakness of the heart. Trivial attachments, fault finding, that I'm envious on the success of others and so on. Yes, Bhajan Rahasya, this is perhaps the longest chapter because it very much analyzes what could be the causes of my lack of faith. And the solution, the main point of the solution is avoid the 10 offenses against the holy name. Then it goes on. We come in the third verse to a turning point where we understand the necessity of humility. It's not my ego. Therefore, I'm more humbler than the straw, and I'm tolerant, I'm giving respect, because it's not about me. My dear devotee, when you remember that the universe is not about you, when you remember that, you will feel great relief. Because you are relieved from a false story. So this is the turning point from the ego das to a Krishna das. No? This is the third verse. And there is a lot of explanation of the Bhajan Rahasya. It comes to the conclusion that real humility is if I do the will of the Lord, not my own. And the final fourth verse is, I don't want this, I don't want that, I want only life after life, bhakti to you. The main point here is this bhakti for you I can gain by hearing Harikatha from the devotees. This evening we will have a 3-hour long kirtan. We will really jump right into it And there will be perhaps, I don't know, 40 minutes, 30 minutes, katha about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's. You will enjoy very much. Good. This is the outline of the first part of the bhajan rahasya. And this is what we were singing. And my dear devotees, believe it or not, when you sing these verses, because they have an inherent shakti in it, in them, you will be led, even without your conscious knowledge, to some of these insights. Remember, lots of what you can learn in Krishna consciousness is dependent on revelation, not on your effort to understand. Good. This is a practical workshop. I somehow hear a lot of train station noise. Is it that we are restless, or maybe we need to place the paper somewhere? Is there a translation, or why is there talking in the corner? Translation? Into what beautiful language?
Russian.
Russian. Yeah. So, what if you go, who speaks English from you? You. What if you go to this beautiful corner? Hare Krishna. I couldn't express it in more beautiful. Because then there is less.
Later.
And why not now?
No, I mean, I'll translate later.
Acha, you translate later, okay. Good, yeah. Because, see, now we will go into the practice part and we need our thing. I first want to shock you. Gauravani translated Param Vijaya Sri Krishna Sankirtan. May there be victory for the chanting of the holy name. Victory over what? Well, over the armies of unfortune, the bad karma, the anattas in our hearts, the ill-placed desires, and so on. May there be what type of victory? Do you remember what he said?
Param,
the highest victory, yes.
Decisive,
once and for all. He said, he spoke of a shocking victory. I don't know if you have followed the 100-year-long war between France and with John the Good and the English kings. It was a struggle for 100 years. And then somewhere, Lulululu is the town. I can't speak French so well, so the English people had a shocking victory over the how do you say, the French army, which was by far outnumbering the English army. It was a shocking. It was unprecedented. No one had thought about it. It came because the, it's not so interesting, but I've studied this a little. Yes, when can you count on such an overwhelming, perhaps unexpected victory of chanting the holy name? When will it work for us? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says something quite shocking in another way. Kirtan is called Sankirtan, he writes, when many people perform it together. But will it be worthy of the name Sankirtan if some worthless people without any ardor, ardor means eagerness, for Sri Bhagavan's service come together to shout in unison? In other words, will this astonishing victory over our perhaps lifetimes of being conditioned by the material energy come? If we just come together, shout in unison, and we don't really know what we are doing, certainly this is a good question. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati continues, it will be true Hari Sankirtan only when we join the Sankirtan of true devotees who are serving Sri Bhagavan according to the principles established in the Vedas and elite Shastras. Yes, this, my dear devotees, I want to highlight now. This process will work if we follow the examples of devotees. What do devotees do? Well, Krishna says what his devotees do. He says, they always chant my glories, these people. These people endeavor with great determination. They bow down before me. And in this way, the great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. This is from the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 14, where Krishna gives us a guideline. My dear devotees, if you want to have an astonishing victory, an almost shocking victory over your long imprisonment in Maya's kingdom, then you must do it, chant the way devotees do. They endeavor with great determination. They speak not so much about new apps on the mobile telephone and easy accesses to Netflix without much payment. They chant about Krishna. They bow down. When they come before Krishna, they like to bow down. Man, that's their habit. And they worship. And when you go to such devotees, my dear devotees, follow their example, then you will qualify for Sankirtan and Krishna will help you to make this astonishing victory over your internal problems. See, when I'm poor and want to have money, I go to the house of a wealthy man. I sometimes, where I live, we have a beautiful ashram at the lake. It is so beautiful, especially when the cherry tree is in full blossom. Oof. But sometimes I'm hungry. And then I don't want to be a pressure on our cook. Then I go to some grihasthas who are nearby. I say, so just like a poor man goes to the wealthy grihasthas to ask them, please. The stomach is also there. In the same way, my devotees, says Krishna, seek out the assembly of other devotees in order to obtain devotional processes like chanting. They have strict rules for themselves. I must do this number of rounds of chanting. I must do this many obeisances. I must do this much service. And in this way, by going to these devotees who follow the genuine path that leads upwards into the spiritual kingdom of God, I will also get these things. I will have my begging bowl full. So that is always very important. And I do remember my association with this Syamdas, who was a well-known figure in the kirtan scene while he was living. He said, you, Hare Krishnas, you have the greatest treasure, but you don't know about it. If you follow your treasure, if you do things according to the scriptures, then you will be very successful. So I want to guide you now into a session of chanting. I will request that we give the harmonium to Gokrishna because he knows my melodies and he also can correct me when I'm going off. So I want to now bring you into a mood according to the Shastras where you can do proper kirtan, a kirtan where Krishna is likely to manifest through his holy name. Are you with me? Is this good?
Yes.
Krishna Lila Mataji, is it all right? Vraja Lila, Vraja Lila. We will do, we will do. Are you all right or are you tired? If someone falls asleep, we will have a camera and it will be immediately posted on Instagram, on all kinds of web pages. No, I'm just joking because we laugh, we become energized also. We don't do these things. My dear devotees, Shraddha is the beginning. In the scriptures, there's a well-known verse, Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigrahai Buna Shuddha Nidya Mukto Vinatvang Nama Namino. It says, Krishna, your name is like a touchstone. Please touch me. It's full of living rasa. It is eternally pure, your name. Eternally liberated. Why? Because your name is not different from you. Binatvang Nama Namino. So when you go for chanting, you should always have start here with the Shraddha, the journey of Shraddha, which starts in your heart. I'm really now worshipping the name. I know in Jerusalem, some of you are connected with that town through the previous belief system. There was a great tradition that once a year the priest would come out of the Golden City where there would be many, many followers, and he would then pronounce the name of God, knowing that the name of God is God. But it was not done every day, not because they were fearing this would maybe, then it wouldn't be special any longer. So later I learned, due to lack of pure priests, this pronunciation, or we could call it enunciation of the holy name, was discontinued. So when we start taking the name, we should say, we should feel, oh yes, this is special. And even if we don't feel it's special, we should deal with utmost respect. I have one or two wild disciples who are excellent kirtaniers, and I always tell them, your rule should be, when you sit down for kirtan, you do it everything with greatest respect. No? That is, you deal with the Lord with the greatest respect, and then the Lord will continue to be with you, be on your in your heart, and be on your tongue. So when we come, I always, there is one kirtanier called Adi Rasa. Do you know him? From Russia, he has all these amazing orchestral melodies. And He once told me that he feels when there is kirtan, one should drop everything and run to the kirtan, because now Krishna is manifesting himself, or can manifest. When you come to the kirtan, what do you have to, what can you give? You can bring your body, you can bring your mind, and you can bring your heart. These are your true, let us say, most valuable possessions. With the body, you can sit straight, you can use the hands to clap, you can pronounce the mantra very nicely, you can hear. Your body is actually a sadhana sharira, a vehicle for making kirtan. Have you ever noticed? There's a voice. There is no instruments required. There is the hands. You can do it in many ways, if you're a little creative. And you can dance in many ways. So offer your body. When you offer your mind, you will experience perhaps that the mind has its own plan. I've called it in this retreat the monkey mind, because I remember once I was at the Govardhan Hill and I decided to study the monkeys. So I went where there has this, where the forest department has this house, and then behind it, and I pretended to be dead. I do such things. What can I do? And sure enough, they were soon coming, curious monkeys everywhere. And then I was breathing, and they understood, oh, he's just sleeping. But they were feeling okay with me, and in this way I was able to study for an hour their behavior. I was looking back and forth. They were all around me. I must say, I would have appreciated if some of them would have, you know, cleansed themselves after visiting the bathroom. It was quite an experience. And I saw what they were doing. They were jumping, they were grabbing things, they were swinging on these trees, they were threatening each other, they were becoming fearful the next moment and screech, and then they would dash like Rinaldo. through the field, you know, it was really an experience. This is what I saw, and I have seen the mind often does the same thing. It just jumps on a subject matter, it grabs something and holds on to it. Oh, how many likes did this post on Facebook get? It swings from thing, it threatens, why did he dare to say this to me? I will say that to him. It becomes fearful the next moment and screeches, please, I'm your humble servant. And it like this. When you sit down for kirtan, you will notice the monkey mind, perhaps the first time. Because all this time, you thought you are that mind. You identified with the content of the mind. You thought, that's my life. James Joyce, is an American author, said, the stream of thought is me. It's not you. It's someone else. It's the mind. And I would like you now to make a little experiment. I want you to meet your mind. Are you ready?
Yes.
What is this? Thermos. What's the brand? What's the color?
Red.
Is it only green?
Silver.
It has a handle. So for the next 30 seconds, I will count it. I will request you, please, it may sound, it's the most psychological thing I've ever done. Please, it sounds simple, but you will see something which you may not have seen before. Can you please look now very carefully on that thermos? When I give you a sign, I will give you a task. And for the next 30 seconds, please do this task. I will have a wristwatch here. Okay. Everyone in the room and your neighbor, please focus on the thermos now and think only of the thermos. Start now. Have 10 more seconds. Think thermos. Thank you. Please turn to your neighbor now, any neighbor, and tell them about the experience. What were you thinking for these 30 seconds? I don't need to hear all your revelations. I was doing this for the first time in Amsterdam just 3 days ago or 4 days ago when we were there. And, you know, they were going like... you made similar movements of the hand. Yes, no matter how we try to narrow our thought, how we focus, it seems to be an entity with its own will and its own movements and its own dynamics. And this was only 30 seconds, and most of you were a little tired, so you were not as going as fast with your mind as you usually go. I'm also a Hare Krishna, I know you. So my dear devotees, the mind is very, very active. Either it is just throwing things at you, look at this now, like I was trying to look, and then I always thought about I started to think about your shirt, and I was thinking, and most probably he got it on Loy Bazaar. And so, wait a minute, I want to think of, the task is to think about this thermos, no? The mind is a storeroom, the Bhagavatam describes. It has in storage so many impressions. And it's not you. That's the thing. Your moods are not you. Your thoughts are not you. It's a different entity. It's an entity that was formed in long contact with a foreign nature, the material energy. And this, when you chant, the mind will come and it will pull you here or there, or it just will numb you, which I think is also very bad. You must know at any moment in your japa, you have or kirtan, you have a choice that leads you closer to the spirit or further away from it. And the only way you can deal with this is with by coming into a position with your mind, which is the main gift of traditional spirituality. You take a step back from the mind and come into the Shakshit Vena position. That's the position of the neutral observer, where you see things as they are and not as they appear when they become filtered through your minds, your judgments, your labeling, your understandings, and so on. In the Kshatriyas, like Arjuna, he was trained in focusing on one object. There's this famous story called the Eye of the Bird. You have heard it many times. But he, when he was engaged in combat under Krishna's, Krishna was guiding his chariot, Arjuna needed to know to apply the art of being absolute present with the opponent at hand. The moment you lose the focus, you can't use the astras and your instruments of any longer. You're cut down. There's a famous Zen story, which I like to remember in this connection, of a duel between two sword masters with wooden swords. It was a duel for fine-tuning their skills. It was not something aggressive. And there was a master and someone who was just learning. And this, the whole village came together to see this amazing display of martial arts. It's an art also, for those who know it. And this younger person, some Mozotto or something, he knew, my only chance is if I just am totally focused on the other person's move, the flesh which comes from the sky, the rising fork movement, the movement of the flying heron and the attacking boar. You know, there are different moves which you can learn if you are interested. And but he had to be absolutely focused on this. His mind needed to blend out the village, his friends who were rooting for him. It was only on the movements and the counter movements. And he was very much able to concentrate, that the other person was a little proud and wanted to show his skills to the village people and for Mrs. Geisha, so-and-so. Therefore, just by this focus, Mr. Mozotto knew I had to blend out everything here, because if I don't, I will be cut down by the wooden sword. It will be a little painful, but no, like this. So when you are coming into, when you want to chant, you have to come into the observer position, where you're not identified with the mental noise that goes on, that is produced by your sanskaras or is thrown at you by your mind. You have to really see, I'm returning to the seat of the soul that's in the heart, and I am from there, from my consciousness, I'm chanting the holy name and allowing myself to exit the stream of the mind and enter the other nectarian stream of the holy name. We did a little practice, but we will go now much deeper. I want to see, do we have, could you put it on? Yes. Thank you, Amala Harina. Ours had just a burnout, so it's, wow, I'm going to do this with the Ragini of Amala Harinam. I feel great. We will start with intoning the mantra Ram. Sit straight. Find a comfortable and steady position. Tuck in your chin slightly, like this. And feel a sense of lengthening along the back of the neck. Place your hands on your thighs or knees, what is more comfortable. Palms facing up. When you're ready, tell yourself, I will now enter into a different space where I will be incredibly alert while at the same time incredibly relaxed, no tension. Gently close your eyes. Relax your body part by part, starting with the feet. Some of us don't feel our body any longer, so you might wiggle your toes so that you know that in fact I have feet. Draw your attention up to your knees, through your to your thighs, into your sitting bones, and relax. Bring your attention to your lower back, and then go up to your upper back, and relax. Chest and abdomen, please relax. Shoulders, both shoulders, arms, hands, relax. Some of you have not yet relaxed your shoulders. There's where you be a lot of tension. Please relax. Tell them to sink towards the ground. Yes, yes, yes. Back of your neck, head, forehead. Relax. While you remain incredibly aware, relax your facial muscles. The inside of your mouth. Relax, totally relax. Pay attention to your breathing now. When you inhale, stay with your inhale. Know that you inhale. When you exhale, bring your attention to the outgoing breath. Stay with your exhale. Whenever time comes to inhale, tell yourself slow. Whenever the time comes to exhale, tell yourself deep. Slow and deep breathing. Now relax your breathing, let it happen naturally, and switch in your mind to the observer. Just be there and observe what is going on for you without identifying with it. We will do now a sound bath with the mantra Ram. I will say it one time alone and then we will say it 5 times together. Just observe the sound. Inhale. Neutrally observe the sound. Inhale. As you sing, remember you're that eternal soul. You're not the mind, not the body, and you're addressing Krishna. Krishna through your chanting. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Everybody together now. Just as an instrument on which you play to direct the sound vibration to the Lord. So please, and don't pay attention to the mind or anything. So please sing now. Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare
recover our lost heart, the heart is that space where we express love and also gratitude for God. I request you to close your eyes again and bring your attention to your heart space. There, try to see the form of the Lord in the form which is dear to you. Maybe a certain picture, maybe a certain deity. If you have managed to remain in not so clearly defined devotee, offer your feeling to the Lord which is still unknown to you, and listen to the prayer of Vritasura. Vritasura was conflicted. He had to act out the role of someone he was not, an asura. In his heart, He always was a great devotee, and at the end of the life, this terrible conflict in which he lived between what he was acting out and what he was manifested in this beautiful prayer. Oh my Lord, he said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant so that my mind may always think of your wonderful qualities. May my words always glorify these qualities, and may my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. My Lord, when does the time come when you take me to you? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Oh please Lord, please accept me again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. We have a little bit more opportunity to practice this chanting. We will request our Amala Harinam. Perhaps we bring the harmonium there. The whole point here is, please practice this in Kirtan, that you really walk out of your normal comfort zone in which you are, your discomfortable comfort zone, and try to move to a more devotional expression, with the mind and the feelings. You deal like a neutral observer, perhaps like your video camera function in your mobile telephone, who sees something without a judgment, turn to the Lord. So we will sing for half an hour more, and then we will take prasadam.